Wish you again happy Easter, and we're so well trained that right after the second reading is the gospel or is the Alleluia that everybody stood, and of course that was the sequence. You know, that was the sequence. That's in addition to the Easter Sunday Mass, and we were all to remain seated and listen to the sequence. But that's all right. We're eager to hear the Word of God, and of course we're also. We have our servers for the first time handling incense, and so they're being very courageous in stepping up and helping us out that way. So you did a good job. The thing I guess I'd like to start with today is I like to always kind of start with what's going on in our lives in a very almost automatic way. I mean, life, there's so many parts of life that just are automatic, and we don't question them. We just let it go on. It's the, we call it, goes by various names, status quo, the rot, whatever it is. It just keeps going and going and going, kind of like a hamster in a wheel. And one of those things that I think is present among many Catholics and widespread in the culture outside of the Catholic Church is the belief that this world is all there is. And many people live as though this is it. Now, you might say, well, if I came up to you and I said, do you believe there's another world besides this one? You would probably say, yeah, because it's the correct answer. But a lot of people don't really believe that because they don't live as though it's true. They live as though this is it. And one of the reasons for that is there's this kind of widespread, again, unquestioned statement that a lot of people live by, which is, in effect, opposing this world with any concept of the next world. If I'm living for the next world, that means I'm going to neglect this world, and I'm not going to be concerned about it or worried about it. So I can't think about that next world because I got to be in this one and deal with it. And it becomes either this world or the next world. I got to live either for this one or the next one. So we say, I'm here now. I got to live for this one. I can't think about that other one. And you know what that's like? That's like, let's say, a newly married couple, or maybe one of you who've raised your children, your empty nesters, you want to move to a new location. And you get maybe a smaller house or whatever, but you get a new house. And you move into the new house, and you've decided, you know what? We're only going to live in half of this house. The other half, we're not going to even use it. We're just going to pretend it's not there. And so you wake up the next morning over breakfast, and you decide, you know what? Let's call in the carpenters and have them put in a wall from the very bottom of this house to the very top floor to block us from ever going into the house that we don't want to use. We're only going to use half of this house. So you do that. Carpenter comes. So you want me to build a wall, did you say, between half of your house? If you'd like, I could just destroy half of it. No, that's not necessary. We don't need you to do that. But what we'd like you to do is when we walk in the entryway, you know, start with the right side we're going to hold on to, but this left side with like the living room, you know, that low trafficked part of the house that you don't go into very much. The dining area, yeah, we don't use that too much. We've got a nice counter in the kitchen where we can eat our food when we need to. We'll just block that off. We don't use it that much anyway, so we'll just use this part. And what do we end up with? We end up with a house of doing. It's functional. It helps us function. We can eat our food and we can sleep so we can do. And that's what we are. We're doers. Very functional. And we never stop to maybe look into each other's eyes because we'd need the living room to do that and just sit there leisurely. And certainly Sunday, I don't have time to have a leisurely day of rest. There's no time for that. I'm too busy. I can't even go to Mass this Sunday. I'm too busy. I got too much to do. I got too much to do. I remember when I was a little boy, my dad used to say, and sometimes he'd say it with a lot of vigor, and it's a good thing to say, just be yourself. I remember as a little kid, I used to have this question in my head, how do I do that? How do I do that? You want to know something? That question stuck with me, and I finally got the answer at the age of 50. I kid you not, this is the truth. I got my answer at the age of 50, and my dad was long dead by this point, and maybe even helped me understand my answer to this question. You know what my answer to that question was? Just be yourself. And my answer comes back now, I'm Dan if I do, and I'm Dan if I don't. And that's the truth. Either way, someone's going to be unsatisfied. I'm Dan if I do, and I'm Dan if I don't. Someone's not going to like it. But I'm still Dan. I'm still Dan. There's something we miss when we live without the next world. And I'll tell you what it is. The world only loves you when you're useful to it. That's the truth. When you are useful, you matter. I'm not sure it really loves you, but it certainly wants to keep you around as long as you're useful and can do things for the world. And when we get into that world, that's how we become. I mean, God forbid you get sick, then you're inconvenient. Not so useful anymore. So in Canada, we've got even euthanasia laws. We can get rid of people when they get sick. And we're calling it for their good and their comfort, we're going to wipe them out. No, let's be honest. It's for our own good. No more bills, and I don't have to mess with you because you're not useful anymore. You're not useful. That's what we lose when we live with half of our house. That's what we lose when we live in this world only. There's no one to love you before you do anything except God. And that's the truth. We don't learn how to do this. See, the way we treat each other, we don't learn how to do that. No, we got to earn what we get. And guess what? You can't earn love. So what do? We demonstrate our usefulness, and then people like us. We demonstrate our usefulness, and then we matter. And as long as we can sustain that, all is well. All is well. It's a great life if you don't weaken. But what do you do when you weaken? Well, I'm telling you right now, Jesus came for the weak, the poor, the undernourished, the malnourished, the people that others have thrown away and forgotten about because they're not useful anymore. And see, that, my brothers and sisters, is what we're missing when we set aside the next life. It really is, because it's not an either or. It's really necessary that we live in the whole house. We open up the whole house. Our Father is giving us the whole house with many floors, many floors. And He wants us. As Paul says in the second reading, because Christ has risen from the dead, we become mindful of things above. Now, let me try to paint that picture a little bit for you, what that means to live and consider the life above. You see, what Jesus is doing right now, he's not cultivating us, healing us, ministering to us, and loving us so we can settle in here. St. Peter tells us what we await is a new heavens and a new earth. That is what Jesus is getting ready for, a new heavens and a new earth. Now, you may not like this, but the world you're living in right now, and the only one you're living for, if all you have is this world, guess what? It's passing away and you can't stop it. After the resurrection, you can't stop this world from passing away. You can try to grab at it all you want. It's going to slip through your fingers like sand because it's passing away and you can't stop it. That's what Jesus rising from the dead has done. It's put a final sentence on this world that you shall not last. And what he did, he began the new creation. This is all in the Bible, by the way. I'm not like, this isn't original with Father Dan. He began the new creation by booting Satan out of heaven. And he's, the heavens, the old heavens, now that's going to get new too. But right now, it's a holding place for those of us in this world that lose our bodies to the cemetery, which it will do. And he said, I've got dwelling places for you in the heavens. That's where he's cultivating the new creation, is in that other world that we don't want to acknowledge exists. This is what he's doing. He's trying to get us there. It's like a temporary holding place for us. Satan has been booted out. And up there in the heavens, which will themselves pass away and become new, he's got a resting place for us, temporary. He had to put us somewhere while he's working out this new creation. And that's the other world. That's the other side. That's what he's doing. What happens if I don't get there? Well, I think all of us know. I mean, it's in the Bible. It's another world where Satan was cast into. There's another place where people go that want nothing to do with the new creation. Because they're living their lives now in complete conformance with the old man, the old woman who gets tired, gets weary, starts to bend over, eventually becomes wrinkled, and dies. And that's it. It's over. Period. Right there. It's over. But see, that's why Jesus came among us. He's starting the new creation now in the heavens with our ancestors. I'm hoping my family members are there. I'm hoping my dad is there who said, just be yourself. I'm hoping my mom is there. I'm hoping my grandma and grandpa are there. I'm hoping that, and I pray for that even. Christ is beginning the new creation in the storehouse of the heavens, because this one's going to pass away, and when it does, that's when we get our bodies back. That's when we get our bodies back, and this earth will be new because there'll be no more death within it, because all the death will be wiped out, and that's the parting of the ways. It's over then. That's it. Those go to eternal death who lived in total conformity with the old man, the old woman, and those go to eternal life who have lived according to the new man, who is Jesus Christ, and the new Eve, who is our Blessed Mother. This is the scriptures I'm talking about. This is biblical. This isn't like, I'm not making this up. This has been like 2,000, this has been like 4,000 years of Bible history that I'm giving you. Jesus is building a new heavens and a new earth with what he has, which is fallen. So he clears out the heavens with Satan and all his spirits who oppose him, and he's putting all of his friends up there temporarily until the whole thing is renewed and there's no more death. And that's what we're celebrating this morning. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, it was the beginning of the new creation down here. And we need to step into that world, even as we live in this one. We really do. And when you do, you will discover a love for yourself that is before the day you were even conceived in the womb. Before you did anything, you are loved. You don't find that in the world, and you never will, because the world doesn't know God. You never will discover that in the world. And that's the sad thing. We have a lot of people trying to demonstrate their usefulness, and they're being led around by the nose. And they're Dan if they do prove their usefulness, and not Dan if they don't. And I've got news for you. Because I am loved by God, I am Dan if I do, and I'm Dan if I don't. And it's true for you too. And our house does have a living room to sit, rest, take some leisure, spend some time with your loved ones. When's the last time you sat at the dinner table? And when's the last time you even spent some time in prayer and got to know Jesus? Well, I don't want to slow this down. I might get to know myself better. Why would I want to do that, Father Dan? I can't answer that for you. I can't answer that question for you. It's upon each of you to answer that question. What are you so afraid of in coming to know yourself? Because as you draw closer to Jesus, he is truth, and we come to know the truth. And the truth sets us free. But guess what? Even as you come to the truth that might lead others to make fun of you, maybe out you on social media, shame you, you know, bully you, Jesus loves you. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. He loves you. That's the beginning of the new creation. What are we afraid of? What are we so afraid of? And just slowing this whole thing down enough to let ourselves become known and loved by Jesus. Well, I don't want to do that, Father Dan. Why not? Why not? I really do want to leave you with that question today. What are you so afraid of in coming to know the truth about yourself and the love of God for you? Because that's the beginning of the new creation, and that's our way into the new creation, is the love of Christ.